Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, December 24th, 2014. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'm talking with Kevin Bentley about his Puerto Rico vacation, followed by back-to-back Disney Cruise Line cruises, a Southern Caribbean cruise out of San Juan, and then the repositioning cruise from San Juan to Port Canaveral, Florida. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Aaron. It's good to be here.
So this is a really terrific trip. How long was this all together, just kind of three pieces?
All together is about 15 days total.
Okay. So you had a little bit more than 2 weeks, and you how did you kind of decide on this, you know, extended vacation that kind of centered around Disney's, or, you know, sort of adding San Juan, Puerto Rico as a departure port?
Well, it's one of the cruises we had been wanting to take for a long time. Okay. We love the Caribbean. We'd already done the Eastern and the Western, and this one just kind of fit in, and it's a very busy cruise. It's, you have one CA day up front, and then you have five ports, one right after the other.
Okay.
So it's one that does keep you hopping.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it's just kind of one port right after another.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like you sort of built in your own maybe more relaxed portion by starting out with a few days in San Juan.
Exactly. When we had taken the Eastern, we stopped at Old San Juan and St. Thomas and just fell in love with Old San Juan. The city itself, the old town, is beautiful, colorful, right down to the old blue cobblestone streets, which the first time we saw it, we probably wouldn't even notice the streets except that it was pouring down rain. So we were looking down to miss the puddles as we were walking, and the blue was just shining through the rainwater, and it was absolutely stunning.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And you gave yourselves, you said 4 days, so is that
right.
An arrival day, a couple of exploring days, and a cruise departure day, or is there more to it than that?
No, that was about right. We came in the afternoon of the first day. We stayed 4 nights, so we had 3 days on the island.
Okay.
And then we had our departure day at the end. And it was kind of neat because, like, most of the Disney cruises, there's always a Facebook group that forms on Facebook, and we have our own page, and everybody chit-chats and gets to know each other. And quite a few of us were all staying at the hotel. I think we were one of the first to arrive, but then every day more and more of the group arrived, and the hotel had a manager's reception every afternoon, kind of a wine and cheese reception.
Uh-huh.
And so we even got to know each other better before we all even got on the ship.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like cruising with friends. It makes it really nice.
Sure. Now, which hotel did you stay at in San Juan?
We actually stayed at El Convento, right in Old San Juan, right in the middle.
Okay. And is that a hotel that you would recommend? Did you enjoy your stay there?
Oh, I love the stay there. Yes, I would really, truly recommend it. It was a beautiful old hotel. Kind of unique in history is that it originally was a nun convent, and way back early 1900s, they converted it into a hotel, and it's been beautifully restored. It's just very unique, nice rooms, tall ceilings, beautiful furnishings. The location is really nice. It's kind of right in the middle of it all. And the kind of catty corner across the street is the old Catholic church from the 1500s. And again, a beautiful building.
So talk about a few of the highlights of the time that you got to spend, you know, touring Old San Juan there in the couple of days before the cruise.
Okay. Well, some of the things that we had did, obviously we were there for a while and we wanted to try and eat the local food, you know, not eating the large fancy restaurants, but more get a flavor of the local. So we ate at a couple small restaurants, meaning probably about 8-10 tables.
Okay.
One was the Cafe Puerto Rico, which where we had mofongo for the first time, which is a wonderful dish, kind of mashed plantains with meat on top of it, which was really, really good. And then another one was Cafe La Punta. And they had the dish that I loved there is they actually took half an avocado and filled it with meat and spices.
Interesting.
And I know you're back on the East Coast, but a lot of West Coast people, when they think of avocados over here, they're tiny. Not like the large Florida avocados, and these were the large Eastern, for lack of a better term, avocados. So and it was really, again, really good. The local food was fantastic. The people were friendly. Absolutely felt safe. We really didn't have any issues, and we were out walking until 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Great.
Through the old town. There was a police presence just about every other block or so, and we never had any issues with walking or anything. So, and we walked quite a bit.
All right. Well, that's good to know, and it's good to hear that the city was walkable, and you know you could find things that you enjoyed there. Because I know that for a lot of people, you know, the prospect of yes, Puerto Rico is technically part of the United States. It's a territory still officially.
Yeah, it's a territory.
I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with the whole, you know, car rental in a location like that. And nice to know that you can kind of get around pretty well without it.
You can, and especially in Old Town, I would not recommend driving at all.
Think
old historic streets, you know, car and a half wide or so.
Sure.
And they park cars on one side of the street, and they actually set up cafe tables in the street, and it's not a very car friendly town, the old town part.
Right. Okay.
So they also have a hop on hop off trolley that circulates around that's free.
Oh, very nice.
So which was also nice. And the trolley was air conditioned, so if you got hot walking you could hop on it, cool off for a little bit.
Sounds like it would be especially good if you weren't on any kind of particular schedule. You were just kind of wandering around the city a little bit, you know,
right,
not worried about making a particular reservation or something like that. It really did lend itself to exploring.
Yeah. I mean, we spent one day touring Castillo San Marcos and not Castillo San Marcos, that's the St. Augustine. Castillo Cristobal then El Morro, the two forts that are there.
Right.
And even a day between them is really not enough because there's so much to see, especially if you're a history buff. A lot of history there.
Sure.
If you had seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies at all, I think was it number 3 where they were taking him in a prison wagon up a ramp into the fort? That was actually filmed right there.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So. You know, and it was very interesting. And then we also spent some time visiting some of the local shops and stuff that you usually don't get to do if you're in, you know, a lot of times you're in port for the day.
Right, right. And you're only within the, you know, 10 blocks or so of the port.
Yeah. So you really got a chance to explore. There's lots of museums there. We spent some time on the beaches in Condado, which is a beautiful beach. There was a sister hotel there that we could go into the hotel, use the beach and all their amenities for free because part of from where we were staying.
Oh, nice.
So we got to see that and do that for about a half a day. That was just like a dollar bus ride there and back. No, you know, not very expensive at all. So it's an easy easy town, easy city to get around, which makes it nice. And there's several museums. Right. And if you're a shopper, of course, they have outlet stores and all the Caribbean jewelry stores and all of that. And what's nice about it, if you're staying, like we were staying for 3 or 4 days, we didn't feel rushed. We could take our time and wander in and out of the shops that we really wanted to see and not feel like, well, we're only going to be here once. We've only got a half an hour. We need to get in, buy something, and leave, which was really nice to have that relaxed atmosphere.
Sure, sure. Okay, so that's kind of part one.
Mm-hmm.
The next piece is an itinerary that was fairly new to Disney Cruise Line, and that's this Southern Caribbean cruise that runs out, you know, departs or originates from San Juan there in Puerto Rico. So what was it about that Southern Caribbean cruise that was so attractive to you? You mentioned that it's a kind of a busy cruise.
It is. The islands was one of the attractions.
Okay.
My wife has watched The Bachelor, and at the time we were getting ready and starting to look at the cruise and starting to book it, they were actually filming in St. Lucia. And it really showed the beauty of the island. And so that's one that she definitely wanted to go to, and that was one of the islands on it. This stopped at Antigua, St. Lucia, Grenada, Barbados, and St. Kitts.
Okay, and so those are just about all ports that you don't otherwise get.
You don't. San Juan you get if you're taking an Eastern at certain times of the year. But the rest of them, the only way you get to these ports is by taking a Southern cruise. And the last time Disney was there was, I think, almost maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say it had been close to a decade.
Yeah, when they did a 10-day, one-only Southern cruise. So that's why this is, you know, and we fell in love with the Caribbean. When we went for 2 weeks back in 2012, when we did a back-to-back Eastern and Western, we just absolutely fell in love with the Caribbean, the people, the climate, the water, and had a wonderful time. And we kind of made it we want to visit all the islands before we go back to any different, you know, back to see some of the same once again.
Sure.
So
sure.
This gave us the opportunity because we haven't been to any of them yet.
All right. So this was the Southern Caribbean is a 6-night cruise. Is that right?
It was a week long cruise.
Okay. And talk a little bit about just sort of, you know, set the stage for us in terms of, you know, putting it in context. I mean, I know that you're a veteran DCL cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And on the show here, we've talked mostly about the, you know, either the Bahamas cruises or the 7-night Caribbeans, the Eastern and Western. This
right.
is a little bit different itinerary. So how does it sort of come together and compare it maybe to, you know, the probably most similar to the 7-night Caribbean cruises?
Okay. Well, the main difference to start with is the number of islands you're visiting. On the Eastern, you only visit two. Usually it's either San Juan and St. Thomas, or St. Thomas and San Martin. So it rotates between those. And I think just now they're adding Tortola to the mix.
Right.
So you don't have the number of sea days. You don't have Castaway Key. So those are the major differences.
Okay.
With just the one sea day at the beginning. And then I believe our arrival time for every one of the ports was about 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And we pretty much consistently left each one about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
So you got a nice full day in each of those ports.
You had a nice full day in each of the ports. This one started out different than the rest. It was kind of a, you know, it was in September, so we're looking at in October, so it's right towards the end of the hurricane season. So as we were going there, then when we left that first sea day, Hurricane Gustav, I think it was. I don't remember exactly what the name
it was. Yeah, that sounds about right time.
Yeah, it had just formed a hurricane, and Antigua was right in its path, and that was supposed to be our first stop.
Oh, oops.
So instead of doing that, the Disney sailed down the Caribbean side, not the Atlantic side, so kind of in the lee of the islands, and we actually went all the way down because it kind of goes Antigua, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, Grenada, and Barbados from top to bottom.
Okay.
And we actually started in Barbados. They managed to overnight not only get the ports all reversed, but they managed to keep all the excursions.
Wow.
So, and well, a lot of our excursions we didn't do through Disney.
Uh-huh.
There's a group of probably about 20 or 30 of us that had all gotten together and booked a lot of the excursions together privately.
Right.
So, but they still managed to switch everything around, so we even didn't have to scramble and change excursions or miss any of our excursions. Everything still worked just great.
That's really impressive.
So that is very impressive, because we were talking when we were in St. Kitts with another cruise company, cruise line, some of the passengers from that, and they didn't switch itineraries or anything. They just missed that first port. They were just out that first port, period.
Right. They just stayed out at sea and avoided.
Yeah, exactly. So we felt real fortunate with that. So that's kind of the uniqueness of this particular one, is it was the routing was different, even though we didn't miss a port at all.
Right.
And still got to see everything that we had planned on seeing.
Right. And that's just an example of that extra measure of, you know, Disney service that you get, that other, very few other cruise lines go to the extent that Disney does to make sure that that experience is maintained, even when it's something that's totally beyond their control, like a hurricane.
Exactly. To give you a brief rundown on part of what we did, in Barbados, we just went to, did a brief tour of the island, and then spent a couple hours at a beach. And the beach was beautiful, and the water was just, I mean, I could have sat in that water for hours. Something about the gorgeous blue color, the warmth of the water, and it just enveloped you and felt so soft. That was just, in fact, we probably were out in the sun a little too long. My daughter got a real bad sunburn.
Oh,
that was also the southernmost and the closest to the equator, and therefore the strongest sun.
Sure, sure.
and being from the cloudy Pacific Northwest, it's not like we're actually used to a lot of sun in the first place.
Right, right. And we should note, I mean, this is October, right?
Yes, it is.
So it's nice that you are finding, you know, good, yeah, warm water to enjoy, you know, that late in the season.
I would say that I don't think we got rained any time that even bothered us on the ports, even with it being in the middle of the hurricane season and some storms rolling through. And it was pretty much sunshine and 80s to 90 everywhere we went. We had the rain one evening in San Juan when we were staying there, but even that didn't slow us down at all.
Very nice.
So the temperatures were wonderful. One of our favorite was on Grenada, and we booked an excursion with a private tour company, and there was four of us families. Actually, there was more than that, but we had two catamarans, and the one catamaran, there's just four of our families that were on it, and all the families were made up of two adults and then a young teenager, tween girl. So all four of us had a girl from about 12 to 14, and it was so fun because we get to snorkel, went beautiful, saw some shipwrecks and some turtles, but the girls on the way back in, you know, we actually sailed back to the harbor, they were all on the front, like this netting trampoline in the front of the catamaran looking down in the water. They were singing songs, and we all just got quiet and listened to them sing some songs, and just having a great time. I mean, you know, I can't compare it to other cruise lines because really we've only done Disney.
Right.
But the people that you meet are, I mean, some of them we still maintain contact with. We'll go cruising again on the same cruises in December of 2016.
Okay.
We like the Southern so well, we're doing it again. Only this time, instead of taking the reposition from San Juan back to Canaveral, we're going to start and take the Galveston to San Juan and do the first southern tour.
The front end.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So, yep.
All right. Well, let's talk in maybe, big picture stuff on this southern cruise. Let's talk about the things on the ship first. This is the you were sailing on the refurbished or reimagined, I guess is what they're calling it.
Yeah, reimagined Magic.
Disney Magic. Was this your first cruise since the reimagining of the Magic?
Yes, it's actually the no. We took a 4-day. I'm sorry. We took a 4-day on it about a month after it had been reimagined. So it wasn't the first time, but still, it more was because we spent 10 days on it this time total versus just 4 before. So we had a lot more time to explore and enjoy the ship and to spend time with the various cast members and stuff.
Right.
She's a beautiful ship. The first we sailed on was the Wonder. So we've sailed on the Wonder, we've sailed on the Magic, and we've sailed on the Fantasy. I like the smaller ships. I know that crowd-wise, the ship's smaller, you got less people, but person per square foot, so to speak, is about the same as the larger ships. But you seem to be able to interact with the cast members more on the smaller ships.
Okay.
You get to know them better. The pub host, Miguel, on the Magic was absolutely wonderful. Our first cruise, he was on our first 4-day cruise, and it did not really start out real well because my wife had sprained her ankle about 2 weeks before, so she was on crutches and wasn't really having a grand time and was struggling on Castaway, of all things, because she couldn't get in the water.
Oh, right.
Well, she could, but she probably wouldn't get back out.
Right.
So Miguel kind of just boosted her spirits and got us to do the crab races there on Castaway. And so he was on this time as well. So he got to see us all walking and enjoying ourselves. But when you think of Disney, a lot of times you think, well, you hear, well, it's all kids, what's there for adults to do? And like the big ships, they had 3 adult clubs. On the reimagined Magic, it was Keys and Fathoms and O'Gills. So then they have all of the, those are the adult only entertainment in the evening and at night, late at night. So, and they had a lot of the same. We did a lot of the trivia and actually won the Ultimate Trivia and the Disney Villains Trivia and got some wonderful prizes from that.
Very cool.
Even though it's a busy port intensive cruise, you still have time built in the evening because you are back on the ship by 5 o'clock or so.
Right.
And we usually do late dining. So we'd go after dining, we'd still be going for an hour or two. So we'd go wander down to see what they had going on. Our daughter, who is 12, loves the clubs. So, and she had made some good friends. So she spent a lot of time in the clubs as well.
Good.
But we also had a lot of friendly family time together too. But it was nice to get some quiet time with just the wife and I, and that we usually don't get, between work and everything that's happening in our normal lives.
Right. Well, and, no worrying about somebody having to go and pick up a kid from a activity because the activity is, a walk away.
Exactly.
So what are some of the things about the ship, maybe 2 or 3 that really stand out to you as your favorite things about the Magic, whether it's part of the reimagined stuff or was always there, but what really stands out to you as the best features of the Disney Magic?
I would have to say the adult area, the adult entertainment area downstairs. When they reimagined it, I know a lot of people love the Route 66, and the Wonder still has that, and it is beautiful. But the colors and everything was just—it was stunning. When they redid the whole walkway back through it and everything, and it's in blues now, and I guess for lack of a better word, it's stunning. They did a fantastic job on it when they redid everything.
Okay, that's great to hear. Talk a little bit about activities on board that are you know, your favorites? What things stand out in terms of, well, let's just focus on maybe entertainment. Do you usually enjoy the evening shows? And if so, you know, which of the shows that are part of that cruise stood out?
We always do the shows. And even though we've sailed numerous times now on the Disney, the shows we still always try to make, because they're Broadway style, and I would say Broadway quality. In my younger days, I did a lot of work in theater, live theater, and the quality of the productions are just top-notch. I would have to say it's hard to have a favorite of them, because the probably Villains on the Magic is my favorite.
Uh-huh.
The cast member they have doing Hades was just wonderful. So, and I'm not going to say much more than that, because for those that haven't seen it, I'd like it to, you know, okay. No spoilers there.
Don't want to spoil it, but I can understand.
But, yeah, but, you know, they have their signature Broadway shows, which are 3-4 nights. But then in between, they also have magicians and other entertainers. Then they had a duo called Buckets and Boards. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not.
I don't think I've heard about that one, so okay. Tell me about it a little bit.
They are a comedy act, a comedy duo, but they also do drumming. And you think of drumming, you may think of a traditional drum set or a drum line, but these guys are using buckets.
Okay, so maybe a little more along the lines of the Blue Man Group type rhythm.
Yeah, from like 2-3 gallon buckets up to 55 gallon plastic drums. And they are just, between the comedy and their playing, excellent. Their playing was fantastic. And then their comedy was top notch, and it was good family entertainment. They had a young, probably about a 6-7 year old girl that came up on stage with them for a little bit that they invited up, and then she stole the show. But I mean, they were just what they could do, and their rhythm and their wit was outstanding. If you're ever on a cruise ship with them, and because Disney does use them from time to time, I would recommend them in a heartbeat. You can't go wrong spending in 45 minutes with these guys.
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool show.
It is.
And then. Talk a little bit about the dining on the Disney Magic. I mean, one of the criticisms I hear sometimes about the smaller ships is that, you know, one of the consequences of a smaller ship is smaller galleys, and at least initially there was some criticism of the food quality in comparison to the larger ships. But then subsequent to that, you know, I heard that Disney responded well and found some ways to maybe better handle the issues of smaller galley space. What did you think of the dining choices there on the Magic? Because you were on there for, you know, 10 days, so
right.
I presume you went searching for a bit of variety.
Actually, no, we weren't, because my wife and I always have our favorites.
Sure.
So to have those a couple of times is not a bad thing, but they have enough variety in the dining rooms and on the dining menus that if you repeat the menus like we did on just a couple of the nights, sometimes it's easy because you walk in, you know what you want. So you don't have to sit there and stare at the menu. Oh, what do I want? Do I want this? Want that? What's good? I kind of like the smaller shifts because, like I said, you get to interact at the staff more. We were on the Fantasy, a larger ship, and again, it was a wonderful experience, but the smaller ships are more intimate. Dining choices were just as good. The food was just as outstanding. I really have no complaints of any of the three ships I've been on food quality-wise. You know, each one's different, each one's unique, but the quality is still just as well. And my wife has some allergies to mangoes and scallops in particular, and the staff was always fantastic in dealing with those and making sure nothing was even cross-contaminated. That's one thing I can say about the Disney ships is if you do have food allergies, they go way above and beyond. You know, you will have no fears at all, no issues if you do have food allergies. They take fantastic care of you.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really, again, an element that carries through to just about all of Disney's properties. I mean, I can't think of any that I haven't heard similar, you know, positive stories about Disney kind of going the extra mile to make sure that allergy issues are handled well. And, you know, when it comes to serving large amounts of people lots of food, I don't know that there's anybody that you know deals with the volume of food service that Disney does on a daily basis that really handles allergy issues as thoroughly.
And if you're looking at the menu and you can't decide between two things more than once, we'll order this, you know, order the main entree and then have another on the side, so to speak.
Sure.
That way you get to sample. Or one time we had them, the servers actually brought out a little bit of each one of them so we could sample them all. What was really unique this time with the dining is that we had had a head waiter that we had had 3 years ago. And he remembered my wife. He remembered her food allergies without us even having to talk about it. But one thing she had talked was she had noticed the cruise before this one, a couple years ago, table sitting next to us would have curry. And my wife had always wanted to try curry. And one night he said, you know, he set us up and had them make curry for us. And we sat down and had a wonderful curry, you know, which isn't on the menu at all.
Right.
But the chef whipped it up, and it was fantastic. It was a wonderful meal.
Very.
So, you know, those are just the little touches that Disney does that make them, you know, as good as they are.
Right, right. And any dishes in particular that stood out to you as favorites?
Well, there's the lobster. Always one of my favorites. But a lot of the seafood. Now, they've taken it off the menu for a while, but our all-time favorite is they have the Chilean sea bass with the mushroom risotto.
Uh-huh.
That's just wonderful. The fish literally melts in your mouth. It's flavorful. The taste is really good. And the mushroom risotto is just perfect. So that one, obviously, we didn't get on this one, but we've in the past were able to request it, and they would make it up for us, even if it's not on the menu. But this one, I would have to say, oh, gosh, because it's all so good, that there was a, what was it? Give me a second. It was a seafood dish. It was a fish. I just don't remember what it was.
Okay.
But just the way it was served up was really, really good.
Okay.
Then, you know, like all of the 7-day cruises and the Bahamas and Caribbean cruises, we had Pirate Night.
Yeah.
So, and my favorite part of Pirate Night, the fireworks are nice, but turkey legs, midnight buffet.
Right, right.
I'm a turkey leg guy. I know we discussed this before, so.
Yes.
I can get my turkey leg fist.
All right.
So.
Sounds good. And then let's maybe talk, you know, more broadly about ports, because you had a lot of ports to touch base on here.
Right.
And maybe you can pick out, you know, a few of your favorites, the things that really stood out about.
Well, unfortunately, St. Lucia, we didn't get to do much. A beautiful port, but due to some, like we had gotten really bad sunburn, my daughter in Barbados.
Oh,
so
right.
we all just stayed on the ship. My wife and I did get out to St. Lucia for a little bit, but Grenada, with talking with them, I don't know if you remember. Oh gosh, it was a long time ago. Their prime minister was killed, and they had an uprising, and then the U.S. government sent in some of our troops.
Right.
To help them out. Well, my brother-in-law was one of those that were sent in.
Okay.
So we were talking with our guide as we were going through the fortress, and he was talking about the prime minister and was showing us where it had happened. And my wife had mentioned this kind of trepidly because she wasn't sure what the reaction would be. And he just thanked her and gave her a big hug and said they really appreciated us coming at that time.
Okay.
So that was kind of neat. But the other thing that stuck out to me was the link that you don't learn about in history books that these islands have with our own struggle for independence.
Interesting. Okay.
And a lot of, like, on St. Kitts and Nevis, a lot of our supplies came from those islands. They were big supply stops, supply depots, for lack of a better term. And it was fascinating to learn all that. Just as we were taking the tours and up and around. And this, the one that really stuck out of St. Kitts is Brimstone Fortress, another old fort just way up on top of the almost the highest point on the island. And the views, yes, they were gorgeous, but you look at it and realize that these forts and even the ones on San Juan weren't made with large cranes and earth-moving equipment and all of that. They were built by hand.
Sure.
These large blocks and everything, and these things have stood for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, for centuries. And they'll probably still be standing for centuries more. They're just, and the, like I said, the history they played in our own War of Independence, our own Revolutionary War, amazed me, because you don't hear about it here in the States. Yeah, you hear about the battles on the, up and down the East Coast and Lexington and Concord and that, but a lot was happening in the islands for our freedom as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how much there is parallel there among a lot of the Caribbean islands. You know, to a greater or lesser extent, went through some of the same issues.
All right. I mean, St. Lucia, Thomas Jefferson's father was born there.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually buried there. So, you know, there's a link there, and as well as some other high-ranking officials from that time. So it kind of was a safe haven for them.
Right.
More than anything. Because from, you know, like most of the United States in that time period, these islands were bouncing between the French and the English and the Spanish. And some of them, like San Martin, was actually split in two. At one point, St. Kitts was that way.
Right.
So, you know, and they were changing hands back and forth. So I'm a history buff, so sorry if I'm talking so much on the history, but there's lots of other things there, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I guess I don't have any problem with you talking about it, because one of the things that I think we learn when we do these trip report shows is that different people have different things that grab them. And, you know, when before I was talking to lots of people about these kinds of things, for a while I thought, you know, cruises maybe aren't going to be a thing for me to really enjoy, because I'm mm-hmm. not really a beach guy. Like, it's not, I don't love hanging out at the beach. I'm kind of hairy, so, you know, the sand gets everywhere and takes forever to get rid of. And,
oh, I can understand
you
that.
You know, fair skin, it's like not so much my thing. And what you discover is that, yeah, it can be about hanging out at the beach if that's what you want, but
yeah,
there are these other experiences as well.
You can make it anything you want. You can hang at the beach. You can go snorkeling. You can explore the islands, learn about the old sugar plantations, or like on Grenada, they call it the Spice Island.
Right.
You can learn about the spices and about chocolate. I mean, you can really, depending on what you want to do, what your interests are, make it a unique vacation to you and be totally different than your next door neighbor, so to speak.
Right.
So, and that's what I love about them.
So any other, you know, specific either ports or port adventures that, you know, stand out and are things that you would tell people, you know, if you get the chance to visit this island, you know, don't miss it?
Well, I would have to say with Grenada, if you get the chance to visit there, go snorkeling. Most of them really go snorkeling, especially if that's what you like to do. If you're, say, a history buff, they've all got their own forts. Antigua has Nelson's Dockyard, and it's still there and still in operation. And, yes, it's named after Lord Nelson. That was, he was started that and got that going, and back in that time period. Uh-huh. So we also learned a little bit about how they were would stray the ships up on their sides so they could clean the bottoms and whatnot and refurbish and rebuild them there.
Right, right.
So like I said, it depends on when you want to make. I mean, I one day will be going back, and I would love to spend some more time there because that was one where we only got to spend about 40, 45 minutes. And unfortunately, me being a history buff, like I said earlier, I would love to spend more because my great-great-great-great-grandfather served under Lord Nelson and more than likely walked the same place as I walked there. Okay. So there's kind of a family tie there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So
very nice. So just briefly, because we haven't talked about this much before, and mm-hmm. this is maybe an opportunity to address it. You all did this as a back-to-back cruise. You did the
yes.
Southern, and then essentially when the ship got back to San Juan, it was getting ready to do its repositioning cruise to Port Canaveral. So
right.
talk about the mechanics when you're doing a back-to-back cruise. Were you in the same stateroom for both sides?
Yes, for this one, we were in the same stateroom.
So what did that mean you could do?
We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to pack anything up. We left everything in the drawers, everything in the closet. We took what we wanted for the day because there were so many doing this back-to-back. I think it was about 800 total. We were doing the back-to-back that they had us kind of meet all up at once, and they gave us a little sticker to wear when we got off the ship, and we could get off anytime we wanted. We were in the late group. We left about 9:30, got off the ship about 9:30 in the morning, got a cab right there at port, went back over to Old San Juan, hit a couple places for breakfast that we knew we wanted to go back to, and got our last Mallorca that we haven't had now since then. That is a wonderful sweetbread, cheese, egg, ham, bacon, whatever you want on it, that they put in like a panini press.
Okay.
And cook it that way, then sprinkle powdered sugar on top. Oh, excellent. But so, you know, you could literally just walk off the ship, turn around, walk back on, and have the ship all to yourself if you wanted. We were only gone for a couple hours, but when we went to get back on, they saw the sticker, and we knew we were back-to-back, so we just walked right through. You know, obviously we had to go through security check, but it was just a matter of about 5 minutes, and we were back, you know, 5-10 minutes, and we were back boarding the ship again. So that's the best part about back-to-backs is you don't have to pack your suitcases. You can just – what's really nice is that last night of the cruise, especially on this one because it is so port-intensive all at the end.
Right.
You don't have to stay up late at night packing, getting your suitcases set out and all of that. You can just relax, enjoy, and, you know, it's kind of like just another day at port. You get off, you do what you want to do, you get back on, which is what we did. And it was kind of unique, the reason why we did the repositioning back to Cape Canaveral is it's actually they didn't offer it right away. So we knew we were figuring on we were going to have to fly back. But it was actually almost cheaper for us as the three of us to stay on the ship and take the ship back. And since right. we had the time, then it was to take a flight out. So to fly back to Orlando. So that's
right,
what we
right.
did.
Okay.
So that was really good.
All right. So just for a minute, talk about anything that's sort of unique about a repositioning cruise as opposed to, you know, the Southern Caribbean, because you're on the same ship, you're starting out at least mm-hmm. heading in the same direction, but it's really a very different cruise.
It is. It's a one way, and in one way it is different. Is the supplies were getting a little low for some of the things, not the food or anything like that, but. Like for pirate night, because we had a pirate night again. Normally, you get the bandanas and everything, but the supplies were low enough that they didn't give bandanas out for pirate night. Fortunately, we had ours from the previous cruise, so but you know those kind of things. You know, couldn't take the pens because they couldn't get any more until they get back to Port Canaveral. We were told that one. You know, those kind of things, but it's more relaxed. The only stop we had was Castaway,
right.
So the rest of those time was on board the ship. So it gives you, what it gave us was a nice, relaxing time to unwind from all of the go-go-go of the previous one and give us a chance to pack up little by little so we didn't have that last night, get everything packed up, and get the suitcases out. So we actually were able to enjoy the whole time. And we did something we'd never done before with the stop on Castaway. Three of us families got together and got a cabana split between three families, so it was actually quite reasonable. That's the first time we've ever done that. And if you've never done a cabana before and you get the opportunity, even sharing it with somebody else, try it at least once. It's a little extra service and magic, and you've got a quieter section of beach, and you've got the floats and everything right there. You don't have to rent them. You just go grab them along with chairs, and you've got a hammock right there and the shade and drinks in the refrigerator and all of that. I mean, it was probably the most relaxing we've ever been. We probably spent a good 4 hours just in the water. You know, floating around.
Right, right.
I don't know if you know the Disney Cruise Line blog.
Sure, sure.
Okay,
yeah, it's a great source.
Right. So Scott was on that cruise with us, and we got to spend some time with him. And if you look at his pictures from the Southern cruise, the picture he has of the new cabana build.
Right.
Okay, all the way to the front and the right side of that picture in the water, you'll see three people, a couple people on floats. That's my wife, myself, and my daughter.
Okay.
So I'm famous. No, not really.
Go.
But
little internet famous.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, I could say that is probably the most relaxed and the most relaxing day I think I've had in a extremely long time.
And it sounds like that was a really nice sort of change up from the port-a-day pace.
Oh, yes, it was. They were both great, so don't get me wrong.
Right,
I mean,
but in
obviously,
different ways.
Yeah, obviously the Southern was so great, we're doing it again. But it's just, it was nice to have that relaxing time as well.
All right. Now, I did want to ask, you know, one of the things that I get questions about from people is things like a repositioning cruise sound really interesting, but I'm concerned that, you know, the travel cost is going to be so much higher because I've got to, you know, do 2 one-way flights. I can't do a round trip flight because I'm going into, you know, San Juan, Puerto Rico and coming home from Port Canaveral, Florida. Any strategies for dealing with that situation, or did you find it to, you know, ways to avoid that being a problem?
Well, we actually flew into Orlando and spent a couple of nights at Bay Lake Towers before the cruise. And then we took a plane from Orlando to San Juan. And those are not expensive flights. It's actually cheaper for us to do it that way than it was to fly directly to San Juan.
Okay. So that's one strategy there is basically to, you know, almost use Orlando as an island hop. In the, you know, parlance that you would use in travel around Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You know, use Orlando as your home base, schedule your round trip flight sort of around your cruise times, and then have a second round trip between Orlando and the starting point of the repositioning cruise.
Exactly. And it worked out well because, like you said, we had a round trip to Orlando, and then since we went back to Cape Canaveral, we spent a couple of nights at the Villas of Grand Floridian afterwards and then flew back from there back to Seattle. And Seattle to Orlando flights, they're easy. You got your choice between several airlines, and they're usually pretty reasonable. We either usually fly Alaska or Southwest. Right. And then, but to get from Seattle to San Juan, that can be a little tricky.
Sure.
You're a lot limited on flight times and arrival times and all of that. So that worked out really well. So
yeah, because you've got more airline options flying from the East Coast to San Juan than you do from the West Coast to San Juan.
Exactly. You had a lot more options, even from Orlando to San Juan, with multiple airlines doing it, and they fly there almost daily.
Right.
So that was one. And like I said, it was actually about the same cost to take the four-day trip from San Juan back to Port Canaveral and stay on the ship than it was to do the whole flight thing to try and get back. Because getting to San Juan, again, is fairly easy. You have more flights in than you have flights coming out.
Interesting.
For whatever reason, that just seems to work that way.
Huh.
So, but we'll see how that works because, like I said, we are doing it again. But
right.
we're taking the repositioning cruise first, and we'll fly to Galveston. And from Galveston, we'll head to San Juan to the southern, and then we'll fly back from. So we'll probably, again, fly from San Juan to Orlando, stay a day or two, and then fly back to Seattle.
Right. All right. So I guess, kind of trying to bring things all together here, if somebody is considering, I think you've firmly endorsed the Southern Caribbean cruise as a nice, unique option that we're all really glad the Disney Cruise Line has brought back.
Uh-huh.
But on the subject of a repositioning cruise, somebody's considering that kind of a cruise. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about that? What are things they ought to consider before making the decision to do it?
Well, I would say definitely look at flights and get an idea on airfare, because your airfare going one way is going to be more than going the other, because generally you're either repositioning from a East Coast port or from the U.S. to, say, on the transatlantics from Europe to here or here to Europe.
Right.
So you got to take that into consideration. But the cruises themselves are usually the cheapest cruises you can find.
Yeah, see, now that's the interesting piece that I think people don't think about, is the cruise lines understand that the travel costs are higher, and so they do tend on a day, per day basis, mm-hmm. that the repositioning cruises can be a real bargain, if you can manage to do essentially like you did and find ways to, keep the travel costs prior to the cruise down.
Right. I mean, and Disney's got a lot of them. This year they're repositioning from Galveston to San Juan, and then at the end of the Southerns they're going to reposition from San Juan back to Miami.
Okay.
And they always have an eastbound, westbound transatlantic, and those are usually 14, 15 days, and you can't find a cheaper cruise than those.
Right, right.
And then they also have the repositioning on the West Coast. They got obviously the canal cruise back and forth, but then they also go up the coast from California up and then back down at the end of the season before the transatlantic. And again, those are some good opportunities. If you live on the West Coast like we do, those are some really good opportunities, because we can drive to the one point, and then it's just an inexpensive flight, $100, $150 back from L.A. on the other end. So that all together, it's almost like living in Florida and taking them out of Port Canaveral all the time. Your transportation costs to and from the cruise are a lot less, as well as the cost of cruise itself is a lot less.
Sure. And there are going to be these 2016 itineraries that just came out. There's some interesting repositioning that basically they're, as long as they're having to bring a ship back from Alaska, they're using the Hawaiian Islands as sort of a waypoint.
Yes, so they are.
They've brought Hawaii back, and those are almost, at least one of those is a repositioning cruise.
Yeah, you got one from Vancouver to the Hawaiian Islands, then from the Hawaiian Islands back to Vancouver. We've looked at those. Won't be this year, so I'm hoping they do it again, because it'd be great to tie in with Aulani.
Right, right.
Spent some time there, and we have been out to the Hawaiian Islands and 25 years ago, and did a cruise around the islands. That was with American Hawaii Cruises. They're no longer in, but that's the way to see the islands. You use the ship as your hotel,
right?
And it's just anybody, especially if they're going to Hawaii the first time, I recommend they do something like that.
All right. Those are great tips, and thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience on the back-to-back cruise and you know, getting to explore Old San Juan. I think you know, gave some people a lot of things to think about as they look ahead to their travel plans for the next couple of years as those itineraries come out from DCL.
No problem. Anytime, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.